Hi, this is Todd Friel, Executive Director of Fortis Institute. Before we get to the podcast, might I encourage you to please join us in not retreating? Perhaps you've noticed in your newsfeed a lot of pressure on Christians to retreat, whether it is in the form of legislation, in persecution, or just outright bias. We are determined to stand firm, not water down the truth, and continue to make resources that encourage and equip the saints to defend and share their faith. We also love to support and undergird local churches, and we are determined to do so. And right now we have a matching gift campaign, which means if you join us now as a gospel partner, your gift will double. Would you please consider joining us on our mission as we are determined to not retreat. FortisInstitute.org/donate.
That's the number one thing you have to do, is to work on yourself.
What if nothing's holy and everything's allowed?
Because the truth is, you are enough.
I now always go with the heart.
There has to be a better way.
Tell yourself true things about God, not about yourself. God's word has to be your filter, your lens through which you see your emotional responses.
There is a better way. And now your host of The Better Way, this is Libby Glosson.
I'm going to use my best biblical counselor voice here. Cut it out. Stop it. Stop it. Some of you are exhausted, not because you're battling some sin issue, but because you're living like everything is a hidden plot line. Every headline, every political appointment, every announcement of a toilet paper or meat shortage, something else is really going on. And listen, maybe sometimes there is something else really going on. We live in a culture that is absolutely obsessed with what's really going on behind the scenes. Whether it's a government cover-up or some kind of a secret global agenda or a coded message in the media, conspiracy thinking has gone mainstream. And it doesn't just live in obscure, dark internet forums anymore. It's on Instagram reels. It's in group texts. If you don't believe me, check your phone. And this is not just a cultural thing. Thinking like this has become a self-imposed mark of a Christian. Listen to the lobby conversations on Sundays at church and see if you don't agree. Christians often feel a pull towards these things because we already believe and know there's a spiritual reality going on behind the physical world. We believe in unseen forces. We believe in deception and evil. We know that there are evil forces at work in the world because the Bible tells us these are real threats in our world. So when someone says there's more going on than they're telling you, something in us leans in. But here's the problem. What starts as discernment, which is a good thing, can quickly turn into distrust of everything, and more importantly, fear of everything. Christians are not called to be gullible. We don't blindly believe and trust, but we certainly don't outsource our thinking to the culture. We have to examine it. Scripture's clear. We have to test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Being prepared doesn't mean believing everything that they don't want us to know. It means knowing your Bible so well that when something false comes along, it doesn't just sound off. It's exposed instantly. You know it's false. We're not called to be fearful or reactionary or consumed with hidden knowledge. Let's call this what it is, because fear disguised as discernment, a lot of what gets labeled as discernment right now, is just plain old fear. It sounds spiritual, like you're just trying to be aware, you're paying attention, you're trying to not be naive. But underneath, there's this constant need to decode everything. And at its core, this is not just about curiosity. It's about control. It's the desire to feel like if I just know enough, if I uncover the truth, then I'll be safe. No, you won't. Because there will always be another theory, another layer, another they. It never ends. Conspiracy thinking often leads to being chronically suspicious. sometimes we isolate ourselves from other people. Maybe we get this sense of superiority, like we know what everybody else doesn't know. And ultimately, it ends in fear and anxiety. And your fruit gives you away. You're not more peaceful. You're not more anchored or more Christ-like. You're just more unsettled. And reality check, your functional savior becomes information instead of God. Think about how quickly a theory spreads now. You get a 30-second video with some dramatic music and a confident voice saying, they don't want you to know this. And suddenly, thousands of people are sharing it like it's the truth. And we see those theories about hidden government tracking and the globalists trying to control every outcome and even misinterpretations of real events turned into fear-driven narratives. And again, there are real injustices in the world. There really are. And there's real evil, absolutely. But not everything is a hidden conspiracy. And when Christians treat everything like it is, we actually distort the character of God because we start living like he's not sovereign. Now, for the sake of argument, let's just say that every conspiracy theory you hear is actually true. Let's just get that out of the way. All of it. Every single one. All true. What does that change for you as a Christian? Do you feel better knowing that every single conspiracy theory is true? I'm willing to guess you don't, because safety, that feeling of safety, doesn't come from knowing everything. Fact is, you can't know everything. Last time I checked, I'm not omniscient, and I don't think you are either. So if safety doesn't and can't come from knowing everything, where are we supposed to find it? Well, it comes from knowing God. Yes, we can turn to the bajillion verses that command us to trust God, that affirm and reaffirm that he's trustworthy because he is, that he's faithful because he is, and sovereign. Yep, he's sovereign. But how about a surprise for y'all today? How about a wild and crazy place in God's word that actually talks about this exact thing? The last place you'd probably think to turn. Isaiah 8. And Isaiah essentially says in this chapter, do not fear what they fear. Because when fear becomes your lens, everything starts to look like a threat. In Isaiah's day, Judah was under massive pressure. Judah is one part of the nation of Israel, and they were in a precarious situation. There was a lot of political tension and national instability and rumors flying around everywhere. The Assyrian Empire was rising. Alliances were shifting. And the people, this is God's people we're talking about, FYI, they were terrified. So what did they do? Well, the Israelites do the unthinkable. They start fearing what these other nations were planning, and they start grasping for control through insider knowledge and aligning with the enemy. They gave in to the immoralities of the pagan nations in order to avoid making them angry, and they made a treaty with Assyria rather than relying on the Lord to protect them against their enemies. And you can read all about that in 2 Kings 16. And Isaiah says, hey, y'all, you are worried about the wrong things. Instead of fearing their enemies, they should have been thinking about the Lord, who he is, how he had revealed himself to them through scripture. Does that sound familiar? Instead of trusting God, the Israelites are trying to decode the world. And God says directly to Isaiah, and most scholars say that this also applied to the people who were like-minded with Isaiah. He says, stop, don't think like them. So this is a pretty big chunk of scripture today. So let me just start at the beginning so we get the whole picture. Isaiah 8, 9 through 14. Be broken, O peoples, and be shattered, and give ear, all remote places of the earth. Gird yourselves, yet be shattered. Gird yourselves, yet be shattered. Devise a plan, but it will be thwarted. State a proposal, but it will not stand. For God is with us. That's verses 9 and 10. Isaiah is like, nice try, pagan nations. You can make all the plans and show all your strength and even have victory over us, but it ain't gonna last. God has y'all on a short leash, and even though you think you're doing what you want to do for your own gain, you're just an instrument of the mighty God. He's gonna use you for his perfect purposes. And then it's lights out, folks. Now, how does Isaiah know this? Well, he says, for God is with us. Where else have we heard that one? God with us, Hebrew translation, Emmanuel. Y'all know that guy, right? That's Jesus. Yeah, okay, enemy nation, go ahead and try your plans out. They might work for a moment, but Jesus is coming. We have a great Redeemer who's going to set all things right. Okay, so maybe all the conspiracy theories are real. Big whoop. We have Jesus, God with us. And in light of that, we get verse 11. For thus the Lord spoke to me, to Isaiah, with mighty power and instructed me not to walk in the way of this people, saying, pause there for a second. In light of knowing God is with him, God is about to tell Isaiah not to adopt the mindset of the people around him. Don't listen to those guys. And what are those guys saying that he's not supposed to listen to? Verse 12, do not call conspiracy all that this people calls conspiracy, and do not fear what they fear, nor be in dread. Did you catch that? Do not call conspiracy all that this people calls conspiracy. That's pretty straightforward, right? God is literally instructing Isaiah and his cronies. The issue isn't just what they're saying. It's what they're afraid of. Because what you fear shapes how you see everything. Don't get swept up in the fear narratives of your culture. Don't adopt their language. Don't adopt their assumptions. And for heaven's sakes, don't adopt their anxiety. Why? Verse 13, but the Lord of hosts, him you shall honor as holy. Let him be your fear and let him be your dread. In other words, fear the right thing. You don't stop fearing. You fear God rightly. And not in a running away, scared kind of way, but in a I totally understand the God that I serve, reverence kind of way. Now, how is that helpful? Well, verse 14, then he, God, shall become a sanctuary. And that's the promise. When God is your fear, he becomes your safety. While all the nuttiness of the people was swirling around him, Isaiah could run to God for protection from the conspiracies that threatened to cause him to fear the wrong things. All right, perfect. So then what you're saying, Lib, is I should just stick my head in the sand and pretend like all the stuff going on around me in culture, in the government, in the world, like all that isn't happening. And just tra-la-la along, skipping through fields of flowers, oblivious, just praising the Lord, right? Is that actually what I'm saying? Is that what God is saying? Well, let's talk about that after the break.
And we'll be back in just a moment with more from Libby, who was talking about conspiracy thinking. But the Bible actually says about this fear disguised as discernment. That's what the conspiracy theories are. What Libby is talking about today is the exact way to think about all of these conspiracy theories. And she's not done unpacking any of this yet. There's another half of this podcast still to come. But before we get back to Libby, I want to tell you why Libby's able to produce the content that she's producing and distribute it for free. It's because of people just like you, men and women who believe in the mission of Fortis Institute so much so that they wanted to stand with us as a gospel partner. And if that is you, if you want to stand with us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, we would be honored to link arms with you. You can get all of the information about what that would look like right now by visiting fortisinstitute.org. Don't forget to head over to fortisplus.org or wherever you download apps on your smartphone or your smart TV, because Fortis Plus is an app that you need to have within arm's reach. Fortis Plus is our distribution hub. That's where all of the content we're creating goes from all of our fellows. And it's free. Like I said, it doesn't cost you a dime. None of the content that we produce has a price tag attached to it. And that is because of our gospel partners. So download Fortis Plus right now if you haven't done so just yet. And let's get back to Libby Glosson now as she continues to talk about conspiracy theories. This is The Better Way.
Welcome back to The Better Way. Now let's turn down the world's noise and get back to The Better Way with Libby Glosson.
Okay, so are we supposed to stick our head in the sand and just pretend like all this stuff isn't going on? No, this isn't God saying ignore reality. It's him saying don't adopt the interpretive grid of a fearful culture. When you label everything as a conspiracy, you start to see the world through suspicion rather than trust in God's providence. And you start to get really paranoid. And before you know it, you trust nothing, and you're living in fear constantly. You won't travel, you won't watch anything but Little House on the Prairie, and you're only eating the roots you gather in your backyard. And God says, that is not how my people live. So if that's not how we live, what can we learn from Isaiah right here in the good old Testament in Isaiah 8? By the way, I love Little House on the Prairie. Felt like I needed to say that, but you get what I'm saying. You are God's own possession. Quit acting like you aren't. Quit living in fear of the wrong stuff. Quit listening to the news stations and social media as your only source of information and influence. So what do we do instead? Live it up? Eat all the processed food and get every vaccination offered? Inhale the toxic fumes and just say, no worries, God's got this. Also, no, don't swing your pendulum all the way to one side or the other. Anchor yourself in God's sovereignty. Isaiah 8:10 says, it will not stand, for God is with us. That's it. That right there should decimate every fear of the what ifs. You don't need more data. Nothing more to see here, people. God is with us. No human plan overrides God's purposes, not hidden ones, not public ones. If you believe God is sovereign, you don't have to chase every theory because you know that his plans can't be thwarted. If you actually believe he's sovereign, then you don't have to treat every rumor like a threat. So when you're discerning what information to take in, what to take seriously, and then what information to walk on by and pay no attention to, resist the draw of secret knowledge. There's something seductive about being in the know, but Scripture never calls us to some kind of hidden elite knowledge. It calls us to revealed truth, and everything we need for life and godliness has already been given to us in His Word. So ask yourself, is this information I'm about to gobble up, does it produce peace in my heart and mind? Does it help me grow in my trust in God? Does it help me love other people better? Or is this information upping my anxiety levels or leading me to anger or feeding my obsessions or maybe adding to your conspiracy knowledge so you can spout off all the latest and greatest conspiracies to your Bible study group on Thursday? Ouch, that one hurts. If that's you, time to do something about it. Verse 13 again. Assume ostrich position, head in sand. No, let him be your fear. This is the turning point. When you fear God rightly, you don't fear man. What can man do to us anyway? You don't fear hidden agendas. You don't lock it down and never leave your house again, because none of those things are ultimate. God is. As Christians, we should be gigantic chamomile tea bags in every situation we're in. We should be the non-anxious person in every single room. We are set apart, ladies. In our world that is so filled with fear, calm Christians should stand out. Not because we're uninformed or oblivious or pretending like we don't see what's going on, but because we're anchored. We don't have to argue every theory. Sometimes the most powerful witness is just being quietly confident in God. So what does that obedience look like? It doesn't look like ignorance. It doesn't look like blind trust in institutions. It looks like settled confidence in God. You don't chase every theory or spiral with every headline because you trust God isn't hiding what you need. And P.S., God isn't ever caught off guard. He doesn't react to the things that transpire in this world. He's actively reigning over it. Aren't you so glad that God doesn't just lob instructions and commands at us? He always gives us hope and himself as the reason for that hope. Don't listen to their conspiracies, Isaiah. Don't think like they think. Don't fear what they fear. Regard the Lord of hosts as holy. Fear him, then he will become a sanctuary. A sanctuary, a place of refuge, a place of safety and rest and stability in the chaos. Isn't that just what you were looking for anyway? The same God who calls you away from fear of what the world is fearing, that calls you to fearing him, he's the one who becomes your shelter. If you're panicking like the world, you're not going to reach the world. Think about the people in your life that you run to when things feel uncertain. Why do you run to them? Do you run to them because they stir you up more, because they incite more fear and anxiety? Probably not. Most conspiracy conversations aren't really about the information. They're about fear. If you sound afraid, you sound like everyone else. When Christians echo the fear that the culture feeds on with that same intensity and urgency, we just disappear right into the crowd. We aren't any different than them. Why would anyone ask you about your hope if you sound just as unsettled as they are? They won't, because fear blends right in. It's having peace because of Christ that stands out. And that's exactly what 1 Peter 3:15 is getting at. In your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense for the hope that's in you. The hope that's in you. People aren't asking about your theories. They're asking about your hope. And they only ask when your hope looks different than the fear that they are experiencing. Peter doesn't say, be really good at figuring things out, have all the answers for that guy who lives next door that's building a bug out shelter under his detached garage. He says, honor Christ the Lord as holy. Turn those conspiracy conversations into gospel conversations. Fear is going to hijack those evangelism opportunities because you start talking about what might be happening and who might be behind it and what people should be worried about. And pretty soon you sound just like everybody else. And before you know it, Jesus isn't the center anymore. You didn't mean for that to happen, but it did. And the person you're talking to walks away thinking, wow, they're really intense about that. Not, wow, they really have hope. And dare I say, that's a miss. That's a big miss. But if you respond to Mr. Bug Out Shelter with a Christ-centered response that's calm and measured and grounded, he's going to think, what does she have that I don't have? Why isn't she freaking out? Didn't she hear about the chemicals in the sky? Peter says, be prepared. If you're a Christian, you are prepared. You've got the gospel. You have Christ, and he's going to give you the words to speak hope clearly. Now, while we're talking about 1 Peter 3:15, don't skip the end of the verse. With gentleness and respect. That is how we're supposed to approach these what is up with all the hope in the middle of the craziness conversations, because that is part of this picture. It's actually a huge part. You can't be gentle if you're worked up and agitated. So someone says to you, hey, did you hear what's going on? The government's doing something big behind the scenes. You get to say, maybe, but honestly, what gives me peace isn't figuring everything out. It's knowing God is in control. Okay, maybe you have a friend. I think we all have this friend, or maybe this friend is you, who says, you just can't trust anything anymore. We all need to move to Montana because everything's about to fall apart. Your gospel response? Yeah, the world is uncertain for sure, and that uncertainty can feel really heavy. That's actually why my faith matters so much to me, because it gives me something solid to stand on. I get to stand on Jesus. Notice the goal isn't to prove the theory wrong or even prove it right. We've got something so much better. We have real, grounded, unshakable hope. If Christ is truly set apart in your heart, like Peter says, you're not going to be easily shaken. And if you're not easily shaken, people are going to notice. And when they notice, they'll ask. And when they ask, you won't give them a theory, you will give them a savior. If you're a believer, a follower of Christ, if you've come to real saving faith in the God of the Bible, Isaiah's God in Isaiah 8, you don't have to live caught in the cycle of fear and speculation. You don't have to pull out your handy dandy decoder ring to figure out if the world is going to be okay. God has already spoken. He's already revealed what's true. He just invites you into something far better, into trusting him. So the next time you hear, they don't want you to know this, you can respond with God's words to Isaiah. I do not call conspiracy what they call conspiracy. I do not fear what they fear. I fear the Lord, and I find my refuge in him. I trust that he's sovereign over all things. So even if every single conspiracy is real, it doesn't change who he is and whose I am. Because when God is big, everything else gets smaller. Not irrelevant, just not ultimate. Governments, not ultimate. Hidden agendas, pandemics, not ultimate. God is. And when that's settled, you don't need to panic every time someone says something bigger is going on. Of course something bigger is going on. God is up to something. He told you exactly what it is he's up to. He's conforming you to Christ. He's building his church. He's establishing his kingdom. He's setting all things right. And now that you know the better way to think about conspiracy theories, put it into practice for your good and God's glory.
This has been The Better Way with Libby Glosson, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed The Better Way with Libby Glosson, would you consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? And also, would you consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until tomorrow, go serve your King.